show?
Well, I'm trying to present Elsa Shallard.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'll give you some music, that's it.
From Hollywood, we present Elsa Shallard, noted previewer of motion pictures and interviewer of the stars. Tonight, she brings to the microphone as her guest the six famous dead-end boys who created a sensation in the stage play and picture of that name. The boys were also starred with Humphrey Bogart in Warner Brothers' recent picture, Crime School, which has been attracting wide attention. And at present, they're making The Little Tough Guy, starring Billy Hallop for Universal Studios. The boys are Leo Gorcey, Billy Hallop, Hunts Hall, Gabriel Dell, Bobby Jordan, and Bernard Punsley. And they're all assembled here in the studio and seem to be in very high spirits. But now, here is Elsa Shallard.
Thank you very much. Good evening, friends. Before I have the pleasure of introducing our very clever and dynamic young guest, I should like to say a word about the musical feature, Alexander's Ragtime Band. This is a glittering production and a pretentious one, too. And it takes its inspiration from the famed and enduring song Alexander's Ragtime Band, written nearly 30 years ago by Irving Berlin. And the picture is a cavalcade of the many great song hits which Mr. Berlin has written consistently through the years. It is literally a living monument to his achievements in the realm of popular music. The story tells, by means of the hit tunes, the different changes that have come in American life during the past quarter of a century, and it's very colorful and stirring. Tyrone Power and Alice Faye and Donna Meachie, that excellent trio of In Old Chicago, hold the center of the changing events in splendid fashion. And Ethel Merman, with her swing songs, is a dazzling highlight. Jack Haley, too, is very fine. The most moving sequence, and one that excels in showmanship, deals with America's entrance into the World War. It's based on the song, Oh, How I Hate to Get Up in the Morning, and it shows a group of actors and entertainers, headed by Tyrone Power, leaving the stage of a theater where they've just put on a show, walking down the aisle, and straight off to war before the audience fully realizes it. Henry King directed this dramatic picture for 20th Century Fox. And now, friends, our guests, the Dead End Boys. I think you can judge from the noise that's going on here that they're a very lively and energetic group. The boys have worked together for nearly 4 years. Their first professional association started in the New York stage play, Dead End. Leo Gorcey comes from a theatrical family. His father is a well-known character actor, and his brother David is under contract to Universal Studios. Billy Hallop was brought to Dead End by author Sidney Kingsley from a very successful radio career. And Hans Hall came from the famed professional children's school. He's also had experience in the stage and radio. Gabriel Dell came from a medical family, and because of his background, was given a part in Dead End. Bobby Jordan also came from the professional children's school. And incidentally, the fact that he just couldn't get a haircut for nearly a month helped determine his being cast for Dead End. And Bernard Punsley, well, he claims that his ancestors came over on the good ship Cauliflower, but that didn't interfere with his getting a part in the play. Well, boys, it certainly looks like my job as hostess is going to be an easy one tonight, because I see you've made yourselves right at home. And I'm happy about it, too. In fact, it looks like you've taken over the studio.
Oh, yeah, it'll take home the whole works if you don't watch it, Mr. Shallard.
Oh, hello, Leo. I'm glad to see you.
Listen to Gorcey, gang. Did you hear what he said about us?
Well, I'm sure he meant no harm, Billy. By the way, where's Hunt?
Present, Your Honor.
Where do you think you are, in the courtroom?
You recognize the language, don't you, Gaby?
Quiet, Punsley.
What was that?
Just angel-faced Bobby testing the piano.
Come on over here, Bobby, with the rest of us.
What do you think you are, a wrecking crew, Jordan?
Oh, I was just trying my piano technique.
You better stick to shoveling coal. Bug for crime.
Poor Bobby.
Yeah, he was a cute baby. Someone dropped him on his head.
Yeah.
Quiet. Boy, my short for the head of Hunt.
Yeah, now he's a headhunter.
Oh, all the way from Washington Park in the Bronx.
Yeah, and speaking of Washington Park, I bet they'll never name a park after us, Mrs. Shallard.
Maybe a nice dark alley, huh?
Quiet, Huntsie.
Well, you know, I think a park might well be named after you boys because you're all so manly and courteous and such good actors.
We're superb, but really.
Hey, boy, get the Academy on the phone and order up 6 statues for us. I think you'd better make them go.
Just send a bill to Mr. Shallard.
I'll be perfectly willing to take the responsibility after seeing you boys in both the stage play and the picture Dead End, also in Crime School, which, incidentally, is a very fine picture. It has a big idea in it, and I thought all of you were wonderful.
We're the top, the very top.
Say, boy, take a letter. Order up one more statue. Make it platinum from Mr. Shallard.
Oh, you're too kind of me.
Get that phone, Billy.
Okay.
Hello. Oh, hello, Bronnie. Yes, Bronnie. All right, Bronnie.
But that's Bronnie.
Okay, I'll take care of it, Bronnie. Goodbye.
Who's that?
Oh, that was Bronny.
Oh, come on, John, will you?
Quiet.
No, Optimus. That was Bronny Foy. I guess you remember him. He was a producer of Crime School.
Sure, don't you remember him, hon? We tried to throw Mr. Foy in the swimming pool after the picture was finished, just to show our appreciation.
Yeah, what do you mean,
tried? He took it like a man. He's a great guy. What do you want, Billy?
Well, he just asked if we remember to mention that Mr. Styler, Lou Styler, directed Crime School, and that Humphrey Bogart...
Oh, sure. We'll give him a plug any day. He's swell.
Oh, you got...
Yeah, look how nice he was about those hot seats we gave him.
What do you mean, hot seats? What does that mean?
Well, I'll tell you. You see, the actors used chairs made out of canvas to relax in between scenes.
Uh-huh.
So while they're relaxing, one of the boys lights a match under the seat. And boom, just a sociable bunch of boys.
You know, I'm beginning to understand why your director got gray hair during the making of Crime School. But at that, I suppose making a picture with you boys must be lots of fun for everyone.
Only the brave can take it.
That I believe. Well, after working together for so long, boys, I mean the stage play A Dead End ran for nearly 2 years. Don't you feel lonesome when you're separated? Now, look. Leo worked alone for the from the group in Mannequin, and same for Bobby in A Side Case of Murder.
Mrs. Shallon, we can cast ghastly to entertain us.
Getting each other over the head. Of course, you don't really have honest-to-goodness free-for-alls in some of those scenes that look so realistic, do you?
Well, that all depends on how much we make.
Oh, I see. Well, boys, when you first met in Dead End, did you all like each other at once?
Yes, but I never did find out who threw that bottle at me.
That bottle was never meant for you, George.
All right.
Eh, we were all buddies right from the start, Mrs. Charlotte. Uh-huh. You see, Hunts would entice the kids with his marvelous acting into the alleyway, and then wham, they'd get a bucket of water right on their head.
Yep, just one happy family. One for all and all for none. No leader. All rugged individualists. Self-government and all that sort of thing.
Bravo, down with up.
We formed a club once and elected officers. Leo Gorsi was president, but we made him resign.
Oh, you did, eh?
You see, his artistic temperament sort of got the better
Leo.
Of him.
No, you had artistic
Leo was treasure for a while. Came the revolution, followed the dawn, and Hunch was elected.
Let's skip it. Mm-hmm. I never had any fun. I just sat around and voted for people. Oh, but it was a great club.
Oh, yeah, great club.
Not even 65 cents was missing once.
What do you mean? He never even had 65 cents.
Oh, quit petting your pod, Gaby. Well, anyway, last Christmas, we went to the dressing rooms of the actors and sang Christmas carols for them. And when we finished, we asked, would you like to give something to our club?
Well, I imagine you got a good response, too, Bobby. What did you do with the money you raised, by the way?
We bought some grease, paint, and makeup for the gang and some books. Nobody ever read them, but that's irrelevant. Then we gave some of the money to the Madison Square Boys Club.
As a matter of fact,
Mrs. Shallard, we collected $28 for the club.
My.
Those all the boys have big hearts, they have bigger appetites. And we ended up with $5 in the treasury.
Yeah.
And then Bernard suggested we buy a present for our leading lady. But being public-minded citizens, we all went to the ball game instead.
Oh, I can see you are public-minded, all right, going to the ball game. Well, boys, how do you like Hollywood?
Oh, how do we like Hollywood?
It's terrific.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's really swell. Lots of nice people, plenty of places to go to and all that sort of thing. But, well, I still like the stage.
You do?
And are there beautiful girls out here? Benita Granville, Gail Page.
How about Ellie?
Right. We're hearing secrets. You know, someone told me that you boys slipped coins to take Gail Page to lunch one day. Is that true? Who won?
Miss Page did. She took us to lunch.
Yeah, it was just for Mrs. Shallot. We all had double-headed nickels, you know, honest bunch of boys.
Yeah.
And we couldn't lose. It was pretty hard for Miss Page to decide between us, me looking like Gable. And...
Oh, Billy, you're so tempting.
But definitely. Yeah, so she decided to take the whole bunch.
Well, our appetite's good.
Oh, yes.
Well, you all look like you have healthy appetites, and I think Miss Page made a happy decision by picking you. Well, boys, after seeing you in Dead End and Crime School in those stories that offered really a very dramatic and effective picture of the boy of the street, I'm wondering where you got your pattern for your different types.
Yeah, they're plenty tough, ain't they?
Oh, very.
You know, we don't deserve so much credit, Mrs. Shallot.
Really?
It belongs mainly to Mr. Sidney Kingsley, the author of Dead End, and Mr. Crane Wilbur, and a swell fellow by the name of Vincent Sherman, who wrote Crime School.
Oh, yeah.
You see, we just sort of put on the finishing touches.
Well, I'd say they were very fine finishing touches. You made those characters of the boy so realistic, you know, it was hard to believe that you were playing parts. It only proves what I said before, that you're a very good actor.
Wow, order up another statue for Mrs. Shallot. Make it out of diamonds. No phonies, except
for
the truth of the matter is that all of us know that crowded tenement section hanging over the ribs and Dead End. But none of us ever really came from it.
We know the types and we study them.
Yeah, we're all social conscious.
Well,
anyway, those tough types are very satisfying for us to play right now because, you know, we're all still of the age known as the terrible teens. And it's sort of natural for us to want to show our importance by talking out of the side of our mouth.
Oh, I noticed that.
I go on with it, fellas.
I'm against it.
Say, Leo, what are your plans for the future?
I don't know. Save my V8 for a racehorse.
Oh, no. I know you have higher ambitions than that. You can't fool me.
Well, to be perfectly honest, and I better check on this one, I want to be a writer.
Want to be? He is a writer. He's written songs, a radio skit, a couple of plays.
Oh, good.
Yeah, one of them was not so good, we hear.
Well, what about you, Gabriel? Are you going to remain an actor?
Thanks for the compliment. Well, I'm ambitious to be a writer also, Mrs. Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about taking a writing course at USC Night School.
But that's fine.
Yeah, I am.
Fine, really.
Yeah, you know,
I thought so.
You know, Gabe once wrote a dynamic farce on Hamlet.
What do you mean, farce? It's always a farce when it isn't played right.
We all have to be that is the question.
What's the answer?
That we should bash him over the bean?
He's so inquisitive.
Oh, boys, you certainly are a group. And Billy, are you going to be a lawyer like your father?
Oh, no, Mrs. Charlotte. I'm not going to be any lawyer. My mind's made up definitely to stick to acting and try to become a really fine actor.
I believe you will.
You see, acting is the thing I know most about. That is, I've been in it for about 11 years.
Thank you, gentlemen. Well, you've done a great deal of radio work, haven't you, Billy?
Yeah, for about 11 years, as I said before. I've done everything from serials to Shakespeare.
I'm right. Say, Hans, how about you? I want to ask you this. I know you've had 5 or 6 years of radio experience, too. You want to remain in the business of acting?
No, Mrs. Charlotte. I want to stay home and kick it in
school. Well, I'll tell you, Hans, if your cooking is as good as your acting, you certainly must be all right.
Thank you.
No, he's just shy, Mrs. Charlotte. He wants to be a producer, but he refuses to invest his own money.
I think it's a great profession. I like to stay in pictures because I enjoy making them.
Well, you boys have just started your new picture for Universal, haven't you?
We finished our first day's work today. To be exact, and we have a very strong story. It's called Little Tough Guy.
Oh, yeah.
And our director is Mr. Harold Young, a real swell guy.
He won't be swell anymore when you get through with him.
Well, Bobby, you certainly keep things lively, don't you?
Yeah, he's a low, but very, very low comedy relief.
I'll settle for 2 bits, thank you.
You know, I'm sure Bobby's going to stay in pictures.
Well, I hope to, Mrs. Shallon. First, because Benita Granville and I go to the same school as Warner Brothers.
Oh,
quiet, boys. And secondly, because I want to be a director.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to direct Leo One.
In one of those horror pictures. It'll end them all, I suppose.
Report in the morning, without makeup. You won't need it.
That's cruel. And Bernard, what are you going to be when you grow up?
Mrs. Shallon, I don't think he better grow any plumper than me.
I ignore you.
Quiet.
Mrs. Shallon, answer your question.
You're
I'd like to be a bacteriologist.
Bug catcher, ready? To get a load of that gang of bug catchers.
Yeah, maybe we all better go in hiding.
Speak for yourself, Billy.
So you really want to be a scientist, a bacteriologist, Bernard?
Yes, it's my serious ambition to spend the rest of my days in the jungles of Sumatra reading detective stories until someone catches a good case of red fever.
He might even settle on purple, and again, I'll take blue.
Makes mine yellow.
Where'd you come from, Joe?
You go slow.
Well, before we go colorblind, boys, I think we'd better say goodnight, and I certainly regret to part company with you.
Good night, Joe. Good night.
Friends, I hope you've had as much fun as we've had here, and we'll be grin to you again next week. Our guest is going to be that new Goldwyn star, Miss Sigrid Guri.
Can I come up?
Who made her debut in The Adventures of Marco Polo. So until then, good night, friends.
We've presented Elsa Charlotte from the NBC studios in Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.